The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome in to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio, and today's episode is presented by the Masters Law Firm and our friends at Parmar. If there's not a Parmar near you now, there will be soon. In the Stone Church Studio with Derek Bailey and the GOAT, Avon Coburn, Michael Sussman is on assignment this week. I feel like Walter Cronkite when I say that. But anyway, we are here today, still kind of reeling from the West Virginia-Houston game. West Virginia drops a heartbreaker in their first matchup in school history with the Houston Cougars, 41-39. And just, guys, your initial thought, reaction, you see this go down, you know, what's your reaction to it?
My reaction was, I didn't think we were going to win, to be honest with you. I had us pick the win, but watching that game, it was just a matter of time. Something was going to happen. And, you know, just like, you know, our coach said, you know, when the ball went in the air, I knew we were going to lose. It hurts because, you know, you're like, God, how did we let that go? But then in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I know how, because – you know, nobody likes the coach. The coach doesn't even like himself. It's just a matter of time.
No.
To me, it was just, well, that's the most West Virginia way to lose a game. I've seen it before, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I've been through that before, and I could go through the list of games, and we'll do that later. My first reaction was I was disappointed because I felt like it was an opportunity lost. I mean, obviously, you know, here's your opportunity to go on the road and get another road victory, puts you in second place, solidifies you in second place, and you're really in the driver's seat to go play for the Big 12 championship, which is not a position that West Virginia's been in their entire time in the conference. Now, would they have got there? I mean, obviously, there's some games down the road I don't feel seriously confident in, but there's a lot of opportunity left on the schedule. And I just thought by losing to the worst team in the league, you really just blew an opportunity. If things happen, let's say that they continue to perform well and you fall a game short, that Houston game keeps you out of the Big 12 championship, I'm not going to be too thrilled come December.
And you know who laughs at us again?
Dana Holgorsen.
To me, it's the worst. You know, it's the worst loss because you blow a golden opportunity against the worst team in the conference. Let's call it what they are, the worst team in the Big 12. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. They're the worst team in the Big 12. You can say, well, this team's worse, that team's worse. No, they're not. That team is terrible that you just lost to, and you blew an opportunity to get the 3-0 and be tied for first in Big 12 standings.
That's about right.
Offensively, it's been an odd season. For some reason, the offense has not been there. And you explode for 39 points and you lose. The magic number for Neil Brown's been 30. And you put up 39. Garrett Green goes off for 391 yards, 2 touchdowns. Threw a pick that really wasn't his fault, more of a fumble. I hate that they put that on the quarterbacks. He ran for 47 yards. Your wide receivers finally come alive. I think 4 guys had over 50 yards receiving.
Yeah,
that's about right. So the offense was there, but the two other parts of the game that you've played so well in failed you.
And they played really, really well in. I mean, they played – defense has been phenomenal. Even starting with Penn State, like, they've been playing well the entire year, and then they just lay a goose egg. It was kind of like, you know, in my mind, I was waiting for the egg to hatch because, you know, Leslie is he's a trash can waiting to get dumped. I don't feel like he should be at WVU. He's just not a good coach. Like, he's not a good man, I don't think. So for me, I just it's just so heartbreaking because you know, you lose to one, you lose to Dana Holgorsen, who left the program in shambles. And I mean, just, you know, not just football wise, but, or I'm sorry, on the field wise, but just
program culture.
Wise, culture wise, like blocking out all the old players like that. That to me, we should have won just in spite of that. The West Virginia players should have been like, there's no way we're losing this game. And I think that's where the coach should have harped. And you know, this guy did not, he didn't want to even recruit you guys. Like, I mean, that should have been the pitch for the week to get people pissed off.
And I thought it was going to be poetic justice, too, that a West Virginia kid
right
scored the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
I thought, and he wouldn't even recruited him because he, on his way out the door, he said, I didn't feel like we could win the Big 12 with West Virginia kids. And I was so happy to see that. And then the gut punch.
And the thing is, too, is if you win that game, I do think Houston pulls the trigger and fires him on Friday morning. I mean, he looked stressed that entire game. I mean, I know coaching stressful and everything.
Did you see the camera when they cut to him after we scored?
He looked defeated. I couldn't even explain the look on his face. But back to the defense. You know, they've been solid all year long, and we had talked about that. But the issues that we kept having and we kept saying on this show was, you can see holes. It's just a matter of somebody taking advantage of it. Well, Houston took advantage of the holes that were there in the secondary. Now, you know, as far as the coaching staff, like, Leslie had some guys, they dropped interceptions again. Right. He can't intercept the ball for them.
Right.
You know, they gave up the kickoff return was a huge play because you had...
That was a defensive coach, too.
You've given up, you've controlled the game to that point, and you have 156 yards to 23, and the score's 10-7. And you, I mean, you've been in complete control, but you're only up 10-7. And then you drop the touchdown that ends up in an interception, and they go down and score. Instead of being up 17-7, you're down 14-10.
Yeah, just a brutal day in Houston. And I'm hoping the team can recover. I'm hoping they can recover moving forward. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, later in the show, we've got the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Write down this phone number, 304-9696-TDC, 304-969-832. Did I give that right? Probably not. 9696-TDC is the number. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Head over to touchdowncity.com. We'll have more for you after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Green 18, green 18.
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Text the guys, questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio today with Derek Bailey and the GOAT, Avon Coburn, as we still are here licking our wounds as the Mountaineers drop a heartbreaker in Houston, Texas. We were talking about the defense. And I want to switch over for a second. Even the special teams, which has been something we haven't talked about because there's not been any miscues or they've not beat you this year. They helped you pick up that L, give up the touch. And here was my problem with the kickoff return. He didn't get touched. The guys never got off of blocks. They just stayed on blocks. And then, they returned a punt?
Yeah.
And they got called for holding?
Right.
And I think that's when Derek started texting.
Yeah.
So now it was time for you to
complain about the special teams.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the first one I was like, it happens. You know, they've been solid. Then the second one happened. I was like, nope, let it go.
Doesn't it? Like, you know how hard it is to return a kickoff? Like, you got that. That is almost impossible if you are just doing what you're supposed to do.
It feels like that West Virginia gives up more kickoff. I mean, but we watch under the microscope again. But it feels like they give up a kickoff return for a touchdown every single year. And I feel like I don't watch other teams and they don't. It feels like some teams haven't given up a kickoff return. I haven't seen Alabama give up a kickoff return for a touchdown, it feels like, in 17 years since Saban started. I mean, I know they have.
They gave up the field goal return.
Yeah, field goal.
But I mean, like, it feels like West Virginia is good for one of those a year. And I mean, I'm not going to jinx it here. I probably will. At least they haven't muffed a punt yet, because that's one of my biggest complaints of the season every single year is how they used to muff punts at just every game, it felt like.
When Holgerson was there, they were so bad at punt returns. Remember, they stopped putting people back?
Yeah.
And the crowd cheered?
Yeah. It's terrible.
That's insane.
But two kick returns in one game is crazy. Like, I mean, granted, there was a holding penalty, and the guy did hold. They saw it. Like, they showed the replay. He held him and everything. But, I mean, you just can't let special teams have big plays like that. Sure, the one, like Anthony said, it's going to happen at some point. I mean,
yeah, but
you give
the
up
second
one
came
but
along.
Then the second one came along in the same game, and it's just like, eek, that's not good.
You know, you used to hear the old school guys people would make fun of the old coaches because guys like Lou Holtz and Don Nealon and Barry Switzer would talk special teams, special teams, special teams. Man, nobody cares about the kick return. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Because they can beat you.
And you know, in Canada, if you did that, you know, the second return, somebody's going to win $1 million.
And that's
why they put it, because nobody ever does it.
That's how rare that is. That's right. What I mean. Like, I know one year, we talk about Holtz. His Notre Dame team, it was a 1-2 matchup when they had Rocket Ishmael. He ran two kickoffs back for touchdowns in the same game against Michigan, and they beat Michigan like 24-23, and it was 1-2. So the special teams, everybody used to make fun of it, but now you look at it and you're like, you know, he's kind of right, because if you get huge plays in special teams, you can win a game that way.
Well, it changes field position. It changes if you score.
It's huge.
It changes everything, and that's why you've got to have solid special teams. But let's get back to the defense for a second. Man, Houston's Donovan Smith, 21 of 27, 252 yards, 4 touchdowns, and he ran one in.
Yeah.
We made that guy look like Mike Vick out there.
I mean, it was just business as usual. I mean, like we talked about, that we masked a whole lot of it because, I mean, again, against Penn State, I just didn't think their quarterback was very good. I mean, he made some solid plays, but, you know, and everybody else were really one-dimensional that we played so far. And it was, like you said, nobody was able to truly pick apart or take advantage of the holes that was left. And, you know, to me, it was just a matter of time. Like, I don't like this guy. And again, it's okay if I don't like a guy. I mean, I don't know him personally, but as a coach, I don't like him because, one, you cannot, and this is, what, 2 years ago, last year or whatever, he pushed that Kansas game off to the kid. I think that was 2 years ago. And I'm like, as a man, like, that's going to stick with you. Like, you cannot do that to kids. And it's just a matter of time for something like that to happen again.
16 completions in a row to end the game. 16.
Yeah.
16 completions in a row is unacceptable.
The two incomplete passes were penalties called.
And the crazy thing is, you know, when they rush three guys, I don't care what coach it is, and I see coaches doing this repeatedly across the country, on first, second, and third down and longs, they're rushing three guys, and they're getting beat. I don't know when they're going to learn to at least send a little bit of a delayed blitz to get some pressure on a quarterback. You know, if you have a third and 20, why don't you send somebody to let them make them get the ball out quick and make the tackle? That's what you want to do. I don't understand the rushing three. I've seen several coaches do this, and it seems like every time they rush three, you lose. The other night, first and 20, West Virginia rushes three at think he threw like a 30-yard pass right
down because
the
middle we're sitting in a zone.
And it's just and I mean, if you don't get the guy off his spot, he's going to be comfortable. And boy, was he comfortable. I mean, comfortable enough to not throw an incompletion
for
3 quarters.
He was out there taking a nap.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And that's kind of what was disappointing for me for the defense is the front seven's generally disruptive, but I didn't think the other night that they had 2 sacks. I mean, that's okay, but they didn't make a lot of plays. It felt like behind the line of scrimmage, you get in the backfield. And they weren't just disruptive. I don't know. It was like...
Well, early in the game, they actually played well. But then, you know, the second half of the game, it just turned into the shootout, you know. And those aren't the games that West Virginia is going
to
win.
No, Neil Brown wants to beat you with, like, playing time of possession, control the game that way. And, yeah, we got into a shootout, and that's not what he wants to do. But at the same time, if you score 39 points, you would think you'd win the game.
Yeah, I think that's the first time that he's lost a game scoring that many points.
I think Texas beat us 42-31, but the 31 came on the last play of the game.
Over
30.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, and man, it was just a heartbreaker, that momentum swing there at the end and the whole deal. But I don't know. We'll see. You know, hopefully the defense can clean it up a little bit and, you know, and they've got to get the special teams going. Like you said, they haven't muffed any punts, but on the other hand, we've got to get some returns out of these guys too. Mm-hmm. I don't even think we've attempted to return the ball yet.
No,
I'm just glad they catch it. I'm thrilled that they just catch
return.
It.
We're talking about field goal. But, I mean, we're talking kickoff returns,
things like that. Yeah, it's like West Virginia. The last time I feel like West Virginia ran a kickoff back was Tavon.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Oh, Winston.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear some sound from the press conference. We'll do that after this.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salengo. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salengo Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salengolaw.com.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have 3 locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Our field reporter, Michael Sussman, is on assignment this weekend, but I do have some sound bites from the presser down in Houston in the Stone Church studio with Derek Bailey, Avon Coburn. Here's what we'll do this week, because Michael does such a great job with the segment, but we'll just play some sound bites. We'll respond to them. Got some stuff from here from Neil Brown, and let's get into this first.
All right. First of all, everybody's going to want to talk about the last play of the game. We didn't lose the game on the last play of the game. We had multiple chances to win the game, and we didn't do it. I'm not very pleased with how we played in 2 out of 3 phases. Like defensively and on special teams, we did not play good enough. We absolutely did not play good enough. You know, where we lost the game is discipline, you know, and that's what's gotten to this point. And we weren't a disciplined team tonight. We had 8 penalties. I don't know how the game was officiated. I'm not into criticizing them because we didn't play very well, you know. But the celebration penalty after the last touchdown is kind of a microcosm to me of the game. You know, we don't get that celebration penalty, all right, which is completely asinine for us to take our helmets off. I don't understand it. You give no – like, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. They don't really want to call that, but if you take your helmet off, it's pretty clear. You know, and I don't understand that. And that gave them opportunity to get in scoring position. We would have squibbed it regardless. It worked out. But I think our lack of discipline, and then we didn't win on the line of scrimmage. We didn't run the ball great offensively. Probably the most we struggled to run the football. And they did. You know, they did. If you look at their yards per carry and our yards per carry, it's not close. And it's a disappointing because on offense, we kind of controlled the game. If you look at time of possession, 36-46, we were 14-19 on end of possession downs. Threw it for 391 yards. You know, we had 82 plays, they're 53. And if you look at the stat sheet, it doesn't make sense, but that's why you play the game. And we just did not play well enough on defense and special teams tonight to win a game. And
so, yeah, he says exactly how I feel. You missed several opportunities in the game, and everybody's going to blame the last play, the Hail Mary, but that wasn't the case. The drop touchdown that resulted in an interception was huge. The penalty, we haven't discussed it very much. It's cut and dry. Don't take your helmet off. I don't know why that's an issue. I don't understand why he took his helmet off. He knows better than that. I'm not pointing the finger at him. I mean, I know it's an emotional game. It's a high competitive sport, and you want to celebrate. You want it to be fun, but it says in the rule book, don't take your helmet off. So, you know, I'm not sure why he chose to do that. But there were so many missed opportunities all game long for West Virginia. Even though he threw for 391 yards, there were throws that he missed, a flat route to Donaldson that would have been big yardage, plays on third and fourth down that they could have stopped Houston on that they didn't. It was just a whole total loss from top down. Everybody, there's nobody you can point one finger at and say that lost the game or whatever. And it's sad that it came to that, and it's sad because it was the worst team in the conference, and it's a killer loss.
Here's some sound from Hudson Clement on the last play of the game. Obviously, great play by him, right? I mean, I think his ceiling is really high at West Virginia, and I'm hoping that I'm right with this. But let's listen to his reaction to his what we thought was a game-winning touchdown.
You know, you're at the top of the world when you score a play like that, but then, you know, the game wasn't technically over yet, and, you know, you see something like that happen, yeah, you immediately drop, you know, not any good feelings after that, but it's what it is.
Explain your touchdown. Did you see that it was, first of all, open, and then did you see the avenue to the end zone?
Yeah, I mean, I kept it vertical. It was a switch verts, and then when I crossed over, I saw they collided a little. Gigi gave me a really good ball, and you know, I just ran for my life, tried to get in that end zone, and try to make something happen for the team.
What do you think about how much time was left? Did you know you had enough time to make a couple moves?
Yeah, I mean, I knew the time was, I think we had around like 22, something like that, seconds. And, you know, I thought I could get in. After I caught it, I saw a little bit of grass to the right and just tried to take my opportunity.
Man, that's got to be a heartbreaker for a kid that thought he made the game-winning touchdown. You know, so, you know, and he said it, you know, Garrett Green hit him on a great ball, and he took it to the house, man. And it was just a gut punch, and you want a kid like him to finish it out. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to go through some random notes, and we'll do all that when we come back to the Touchdown City Show.
Tired of manually updating your online payment information every time your card is lost, stolen, or expired? Let CardSwap from Summit Community Bank take care of it for you. CardSwap lets you update your payment information for multiple merchants and subscriptions all in one place. Simply add your Summit debit or credit card to CardSwap and we'll update your payment information automatically. Convenience when you need it most. That's service beyond expectations. Sign up for CardSwap today through Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio with Derek Bailey, Avon Coburn, and again, we're still kind of reeling from the defeat in Houston because it was quite the gut punch, but we've seen these before. Probably the biggest WVU heartbreaks I've lived through, 89 Pitt. You're up 31-9 at halftime and you lose.
You lose 31-31.
You know.
Yeah, that is a loss.
And it was the first time West Virginia had lost since 87. So for, because I think at that point they were.
That 88, they were undefeated, and then 89, I think.
Well, they like, lost the national championship
game. But I mean, still, though, regular season win streak was on the line.
Yeah. So that was a heartbreaker. I'll go with 96 Miami. Mm-hmm. The block punt in the rain.
Tremaine Mac.
You know, you you stand in the rain for hours. Your defense is just...
They couldn't get a first down.
They couldn't move.
They couldn't get a yard, yeah. Let alone a first down. They couldn't get a yard.
That was that John Browning and those guys?
I believe so. I believe Henry Curtis.
Best defense in the nation. They couldn't move. The Miami Hurricanes could not move the football. All you had to do was punt it.
Yep.
Bloop. I could still hear their feet squeaking on the turf. And
yeah, it was a...
I could still hear it. Plain as day.
It was a Big Ten slugfest that night.
Oh, what a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Of course, the 2007 Pitt game. 13-9. Brutal.
That was probably one of the hardest losses that I never played in. Because, I mean, we had a chance to go to the show. Like, that, out of all the years that, and win it. Like, you had the Divine... Not Noel Devine, but the Devine, Pat White and Steve Slayton, that were on top of the top, just freshmen that were just unbelievable. And
you'd have got to play Ohio State that year in 07.
And would have dominated.
And Ohio State had trouble with Juice Williams in Illinois that year, if you guys remember. That's who they lost to. And if they thought Juice Williams and I believe it was Rashard Mendenhall, if they thought those two guys could play, I got news for them. Pat White and Steve Slayton were better than those two guys.
For sure.
So, I mean, they would have had their hands full.
But the long-term effect of that loss,
we're still
feeling it.
To me, that's the worst loss in the history of the program.
Right. It's like Hiroshima.
Yeah,
because that right there, that was, I mean, we were already on that trajectory going up.
Yep.
And when we lost that game right there, it just leveled us out. It just put us right back to where everybody else, that mid-grade, that mid-tier – football team.
And you lose to your arch rival. You're a 27.5-point favorite. I mean, everybody had written him in. I remember Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day. He's like, congratulations, WVU. You'll have your place in the BCS championship game tonight. Because nobody expected that. No one.
Right. And it was, and it's completely changed the trajectory of the program. Rich Rodriguez leaves. You know, they lose the game, Rich leaves. You never quite get it back with Stu, although he won 8, 9, 10 games.
Right.
You know, Dana never got it there. You know, he won the Orange Bowl. But, man, by the skin of their teeth, if you go back and look at those games, they barely survived a lot of those games. And then now the Neil Brown era. I mean, so we've never recovered from it. And, you know, and I don't know. It's one of those things when you look back at it, it's like, you know how people like to relive the sinking of the Titanic? Like, they just love to talk about it. Like, that's the game that people bring up.
I mean, I would say, you know, talking WVU sports, what is that, 99 game against Virginia Tech?
Yes.
I mean, they had the number one defense in the nation. I mean, I had 140 yards rushing. I mean, it was just one
it's
of
all
those,
about me.
It
me,
was. Me. I mean, it was one of those things where you're sitting on top, and I'm like, man, they had never had a 100-yard rusher go against them. You know, my old line was just killing people. Receivers making plays, and then you get Michael Vick to hit that. I mean, we were not very good that year. Like, we just weren't.
That would have made the season, because it would have knocked Virginia Tech out of the national title game.
Right.
They played for the national title that year.
I think it also would have maybe changed the trajectory. I think you guys would have went to a bowl game that year if you had won that one.
Right, because we would have won two more games to get us.
What was that, the 4-7 year?
Yeah,
4-7. That's what I thought.
We would have won two more. I mean, that would have been one of the – we'd have won that one and put us right there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
– I've watched that playback several times. And of all the people to pull up on a guy
Right.
Barrett Green.
Barrett Green.
BG. Barrett Green. I've sent you guys video clips from the 97 Miami game.
He was so awesome.
He looked like Nikita Koloff out there.
He would just run. I mean, if he was running across the field, it didn't matter if it was. You could be in the stands. He was hitting you.
You were getting tackled.
You were getting tackled. He ran across the field. He's tackled.
98, too. 98. He was awesome. He turned Edgerrin James' helmet all the way around in 98.
Yeah. He was a headbuster.
This dude is crazy.
That's
what you need. Then he pulled up.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
He had already been flagged once.
If he'd have hit him, it'd have been a 15-yarder. It'd have been all right. I would have rather him just laid the guy out, because any other time he'd have laid him out, and I would have been fine with it. I mean, if he'd have got flagged, That's just Green playing aggressive, and that's what he played. That was good.
Yeah. Let up. Vic runs, for 25 more yards?
Yeah.
Shane Graham goes down and kicks it. Yeah. Ball game.
Two pros right there, Shane Graham and Michael Vick.
Yeah. Then the 03 Miami game. And this is what this game kind of went back to that. The Houston loss went back to that game for me, because all I could think about was, damn, they got a long ride home on that plane. And that's a long way home from Miami.
Yeah, and they're, you know, that right there was one of the things. That Miami game, I mean, everybody in the world watched that one, because it was Thursday night. It was prime time, just like you know, this Thursday. Yep. I mean, everybody was watching. I mean, maybe not everybody, because – I mean, we two subpar teams, and that was a tough loss, that Miami one.
You
just snatched it.
You have a play like what Quincy, you know, one of the greatest plays in college football. It's got to be one of the top 25 or 30 plays of all time in college football.
Yeah,
I mean, amazing play, and Kellen Winslow.
But you know what? It's not going to be the top 25 because we didn't win. But it's still one of those plays that should be. If we would have won the game, that would have been probably the greatest play in the history of plays.
It won an ESPY that year.
It did, but, I mean, you still lost. So it kind of took some of that oomph away from it.
Yeah. I don't know. Man, but that was just – when I think of heartbreakers, those are the games I think about. Real quick, and not to – I want to switch gears real quick. I want to acknowledge the passing of Dale Wolfley. Dale was an ultimate Mountaineer. Do you remember those posters that the athletic department put out that one year? It's like the ultimate Mountaineer, and it had like, I don't know. Anyway, but Dale Wolfley was the definition of Mountaineer. He loved the program. He loved being around the program. He loved the guys. He played on one of the greatest teams ever up there, the 88 team, probably the greatest team. You know, just a heartbreaker to lose a 56-year-old man, goes to sleep at his mom's house, from what I understand, and doesn't wake up. It's awful.
Terrible.
And I feel bad for his family, and want to send my condolences to them. You know, rest in peace, Dale. You know, and now forever, he has a hamburger at Kegler's called the Wolfman. And people were posting pictures of it this week. They were going to Kegler, so
yeah,
good stuff.
Tough loss for the program, for Mountaineer Nation. I mean, more importantly for his family. It's just so young to lose such a person, man. And he just made so much of an impact on a lot of people.
Yeah. Let's talk football real quick and back to the season. Do you see a lot of opportunity? I mean, West Virginia's sitting at 4-2. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even have us at 4-2. But do you see a lot of opportunity left on the schedule for them to have, and I'm using air quotes, a successful football season?
I mean, successful, like you said, most people didn't have us past 4-7, 4-8. You know what I mean? Now, in my mind, if we go 6-6, that is a success for us.
I mean, I think there's room for success here still. Because most people, like Avon's saying, 5-7, 4-8, you know, pick last in the Big 12. You're 4-2. The only thing left on the schedule that you know, like, seems certain anyway, and I mean, you know, you don't think you'll beat Oklahoma. That's fine. That's the only thing left. The rest of the games are winnable. If they can somehow win four more games and finish 8-4, that would be a huge success to me for West Virginia season, because that would put you in a bowl game. It would be huge improvement from last year, and it would be way past most people's expectations for the year at 8-4. I think that's a successful season, but at the same time, you know, the way you lost to Houston and everything, you look at that 8-4, and if you get to 8-4 and you say, man, where that Houston game from 9-3, and 9-3 sounds a lot better than 8-4.
I mean, so is 8-3 having you happy with the coaching staff?
As a Mountaineer fan, I will say this is historically an 8-4 program. If he finishes the season, if Coach Brown and the Mountaineers finish 8-4, what does that put the overall record to? 30, let's see here, that would be 4 wins, so he's 30-27, so that would be 30-29. To me, that's still not good enough. That's just 500. That's not good enough. It would be exciting to be 8-4, but at the same time, being realistic about it and looking at it, of those 30 wins, as I spoke about last week, and, you know, negative or not, James Madison, Duquesne, Eastern Kentucky, Towson State, and whoever the other one is. I don't even remember who the other one is now at this point. That's 5 of your wins. So you're technically 25-29. That's not good enough. But 8-4 in a season is acceptable to me, but it's still not good enough overall for me.
Because you're not judging based on the 8-4 season. No, you're judging the overall body of work.
Right.
And the overall body of work has not been there. But the unfortunate thing is ADs have the tendency to re-sign guys after they did it with Holgorsen.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know what's going to come. I don't see them re-signing him after this. Maybe some sort of extension and you lower the buy. I don't know. I don't know how you work the numbers. But I'm hoping, and I still think there's a lot of opportunity to continue to have a good season here.
But that's the thing. We're assuming they're going to win those games. You got to win the games. You can't just, if you finish 6-6, to me, that's a fail in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, don't forget, head over to and follow and subscribe to our basketball show. It's called Full Court Press. We've got a big announcement next week, and we'll announce it here on the show. But and we'll be back after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling about the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Be sure to stick around and listen for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. For all of your Mountaineers gear, visit alumnihall.com.
And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show, presented by our friends at The Masters Law Firm. And our friends at Parmar, if there's not a Parmar near you now, there will be soon. All right, the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. The phone number, 304-969-6832, 304-9696-TDC. In 1996, speaking of heartbreakers, West Virginia lost to Miami on a block punt. Who blocked the punt? I think we've already given you the answer.
I said his name earlier.
Yeah. So, who blocked the punt in the 96 Miami game? The phone number, 304-9696-TDC, 304-969-6832 for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, Michael Sussman's on report on special duty this week, so I will handle the sports line or sports headlines. Let's start with Oklahoma State over Kansas 30. Oh, wait. I don't have the score right. But Oklahoma State over Kansas.
39-32.
Yeah, I have it at 30-32. I screwed that up.
I watched this game, and it was a shootout early. Second half kind of got a little more defensive. The kid for Kansas is a backup bean. We've talked about him before. He can really sling it. But the thing is, with Oklahoma State now, that's two wins in a row, and they're coming to Morgantown. Makes it a little scary because they've played well against Kansas State, and they've played well against Kansas. That's two pretty solid teams, and they've won both games. Looks like they found a little bit of offense. They've settled on a quarterback. Not sure if it just had to do with home field advantage or not, but that's two pretty good wins for them and some momentum coming into Morgantown.
Also, to Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon, he ran for 168 yards against Kansas. So not only is their quarterback settling in, they're getting the running game going too. So
balanced attack is going to be hard for us to manage.
Yep. TCU over BYU. I texted you guys early in the game. Sonny Dykes went for it. I mean, obviously they won big yesterday, 44-11. But he went for it again early on fourth down and didn't get it. And I thought, has this guy not learned his lesson? Because if in a close game, those type of things, and we're going to talk about it, it's more of it later, but those type of things cost you football games.
So basically what we're saying here is the four newcomers to the conference have one win that's not each other, and that was Thursday night, Houston. BYU is finding tough sledding. Central Florida is finding tough sledding. Cincinnati hasn't won a game against anyone. BYU beat Cincinnati. Houston beat West Virginia. That's their only win of the four newcomers. But speaking of TCU, they benched their starting quarterback and put in Morris, I believe is his last name. He threw for several hundred yards yesterday and some touchdowns. He looked pretty solid to me. They rolled BYU. I was a little bit surprised that they won with such ease. I didn't think it would be that bad. But the fourth down decisions across the country is mind-boggling.
Yeah, West Virginia, so a game I want to talk about has a West Virginia connection. Tennessee over Texas A&M. And I think that puts A&M at
4-3.
And, man, Jimbo's feet are burning. He's the hot seat. He's got the hot foot. He's got it all going on. Here's the crazy thing. They sign these guys to these huge contracts, and then if they don't live up to them, they instantly want them gone. You know what I mean? If you sign somebody to 10 years, you're expecting a 10-year run of you know, you're going to be up and down.
Nope.
If they fire him this year, they owe him $76.8 million.
Can I take the job and get fired?
Yeah, please. If they keep him to the end of 24, they only owe him 67 and a half.
Only.
Yeah.
only 67. Only.
Crazy.
You know, I don't know whether they're going to fire him or not. They're 4-3. They've lost a close one to Tennessee, a close one to Alabama. Miami kind of got them good, which that surprises me because I don't know how good Miami is. Those fans down there, they have that kind of money. It would not surprise me to see him go if they don't rebound here. I don't really know what to expect from them. I don't know their schedule the remainder of the year and everything. But you got to think they're going to have some tough games left, especially if they get maybe Georgia or somebody like that in there. You know, I don't know the answer, but if they finish 6-6 or so, he may get fired.
Man,
fire me.
$76 million.
I mean, I'm not one to get paid and chill. But if I happen to make $76 million and I ain't got to do nothing to sustain it,
I'll go ahead and take that chance to get paid and chill with the $76 million if somebody wants to sign me up.
Chilling,
for it. I'd be living chilling the fine. Most.
$76 million. Notre Dame over USC, 48-20. Dominating performance by Notre Dame, who just is coming off of a loss to Louisville.
I mean, I expected that. To be honest with you, I expected that watching them play Colorado the week before. I didn't think USC was like that.
You know, a quarterback can mask a lot of problems. Caleb Williams has masked so many problems for Southern Cal the last couple of years because they're not good on defense. They're not physical on defense. They're kind of soft on the offensive line, in my opinion. Notre Dame only had 250 yards of total offense in this game. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown. They forced five turnovers. Williams threw three turnovers in the first half, which resulted in USC being behind 24-6. If Caleb Williams doesn't play like Superman, which he usually does, you know, he's going to have an off game here and there, then they're not going to win. It's just the way it is. He's masked a lot of problems for Southern Cal. He's the best player in the country.
Southern Cal just looks like Oklahoma West to me.
Well, I mean, it's all him. It's all Caleb Williams. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the receivers
are good. But that's just how Lincoln plays.
But some of the receivers are good. Things like, I shouldn't say it's all him. But, like, you know, the offensive line has some issues. The defensive line has major issues. And if he turns the football over, they're in big trouble because the defense can't stop anybody.
Well, it's kind of crazy to see Notre Dame, you know, lose a game to Louisville. They broke the AC, you know, they snapped their ACC win streak. And then turn around and dominate a team who the experts, the talking heads, you know, wanted to put in the Final Four.
There was a reason Southern Cal was a 3.5-point underdog last night.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Notre Dame also should have lost to Duke.
Yeah, they should have lost to Duke.
Good point.
Fourth and 18, Duke rush three. Rush three, you lose.
Yeah. Oregon dropped one to Washington in one of the craziest games of the day. Obviously, I'm super impressed with Washington's quarterback, 36-33, but had some stupid coaching.
I fired both of these coaches like 17 times through the course of this game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, you go back, go back a little bit, and the final score is 36-33, but they had an opportunity to kick a field goal earlier to make it 39-33.
No, go ahead, Washington. Washington had the opportunity.
Which they should have taken it, got stopped, and then they had to play defense. But you take the points there because you force Oklahoma to try to have to score a touchdown.
I disagree with you on there because they're on the 1 yard line. Everybody's doing a tush push. They lined up 5 yards deep and run the dumbest. They had a counterplay. I'm like, just put the quarterback under and just push him in there for a touchdown.
This is where the offense that Washington runs poses a problem. They don't really try to run the football for good reason. They have three great receivers. Penix can get them the ball.
Right.
They don't really run the football a lot. But Oregon's coach also elects to pass on two field goals, one at the end of the first half. Then they miss a field goal to at the end of the game to, quote, lose the game. But he also passed on two field goals. Then, inexplicably, up 33-29 on fourth and, like, three from, like, midfield. He goes for it.
Went for it. Gave him a short field.
And you give a team that averages 46 points a game back at the 50-yard line. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand the going for it on fourth down over and over and over in every game.
Well, I mean, I guess their mindset was if they get it, then the game's over.
The game's over. But I mean,
if you don't,
then you lose.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, normal football has to come back into play here. I mean, you have to punt and just play defense.
See, this is why Georgia, in my opinion, and I know they get the best players. They get the best players. But Georgia runs the football and plays defense. And that's why if you go out there against Georgia and start going for fourth and three from the 50 every time, you're going to get buried. Ask Oregon. They got beat 49-3 last year.
All right. Let's talk West Virginia, Oklahoma State in Morgantown. Homecoming. So the frats will be out. They'll be stomping the yard this week. They'll be doing the whole deal. West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Morgantown. Avon, predictions.
Oh, man. I swear. I just don't feel like we can. I don't think we can win this game. I really don't.
Oh.
It just hurts me to say that. Even though, you know, I hate to have the kids lose. But this might be. I can't do it. WVU, we're going to win this game. even though I don't feel like we should. We're going to win this game barely. 21-20.
All right, well, I mean, I think Houston's going to beat West Virginia twice, unfortunately. I think the morale of the team, that's a crushing way to lose. If they can win this game, it'd be kudos to the coaching staff and everything. I'm going to take Oklahoma State 31, West Virginia 21.
I like a bounce back for West Virginia this week. I don't know the score because I don't know what the offense. I'm still not figured out this offense yet. So I'm going to take West Virginia this week. I'm going to say 24-17, and the good news is they won't blow a lead like Colorado. So, thank you guys for checking out the Touchdown City show this week. Don't forget, you can subscribe to everything at touchdowncity.com. Thanks for listening.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.